never filtered. Always fun. This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog.
Got some interesting names of my team.
I like the baby monkeys.
There's a lot of them.
I've got one that you might enjoy.
Okay.
The baby monkeys.
Just said
that. Oh, you did?
It just...
Oh, my God.
Shut up and drive.
On TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Yesterday was the first positive Tuesday in a long, long time, and today is miserable, weeping Wednesday.
I like weeping Wednesday.
It's over, man.
You think so?
Ship is sinking Wednesday?
There's a lot of people that are tying that 18-wheeler.
18-wheeler with the engine light on, would you say?
They're as close to the cliff as you can get. They've lost, the Blue Jays have lost 9 of 12. They've lost four series in a row. Now they head out west. They've got four in Anaheim against the Angels. And
you
then
know Anaheim's
going to
be an absolute pain in the ass.
Well, Anaheim was in town 2 weeks ago, and they took two or three off them. They could be going to Minnesota and then Milwaukee and then Christie Pitts, and they probably lose the way they're playing right now. They're awful.
It's not going well.
They're awful right now.
Their confidence level looks like in the toilet. That's what it is.
What about the optimist type of view where, you know, the people always pipe up and say, look at how many teams would love to be in this position. And, I mean, that's a tough one to even kind of follow that narrative right now with how they're playing.
But can you, at the starting of the season, if you were, Hayes, you always do this, one game to make the playoffs, would you take that if you're the Blue Jays fan base?
Of course you would.
So that's a wild card.
But there's correct? No guarantee they're getting to that one game, and that's correct. The problem right now, mm-hmm. is for the better part of 5 months, at the very least, they were going to be a wild card team. And as of right now, they're still in a wild card position, but they're only a game and a half up on Detroit, and Detroit's playing Minnesota tonight. Now, they got smoked by the Twins last night, but you would think this would be a situation where they come out and win that game.
Right.
You've got the Yankees, who are beating everybody. They won again last night. They got the Dodgers at home. It's not going to be an easy game, but still, the way they're playing at this point, you could picture them picking up a win. The Yankees and the Tigers both win today. They'll both be a game back of the Blue Jays. And again, the Jays are in Seattle this time next week, I believe, early next week. Seattle's won 7 in a row.
Yeah, they're no joke right now either.
They're no joke, and they're only 2 back of the Blue Jays. So you got the Tigers chasing, the Yankees chasing, the Mariners chasing, and it may not even matter if the Blue Jays can't get up off the mat. Because they've been sucker punched, and it's all self-inflicted. They can't pitch. They can't hit. But now you got Donaldson, MRIs. I mean, it's a mess right now.
Before they could hit, but they couldn't pitch. And then has there been a time where they've been getting the pitching but not the hits?
All year they got the pitching and not the hitting. Their hitting's been okay. The expectations were too high based on what their offense was a year ago.
Okay.
They were not going to replicate that kind of offensive production because that was like once in a lifetime season, but their rotation in particular has really held them steady and kept them above water all year, and now they can't get quality starts out of anybody.
What do you think Johnny Miller would say about this team and the way they're performing when the stakes are high? What's the one word you think he would probably come up with?
Choke.
There's an element of choking here. Josh Donaldson's not in the lineup. He's the MVP. He's a great player, but they're a talented enough team where other guys should be able to I mean, I think Estrada said after his last start where he didn't last that long, he said, I just felt weird out there. Do you know what weird means when you're on the mound and the pressure's high? It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And you don't get the job done. There's the whole unit is, there's a massive element of just choking. I don't know. How else can you describe it?
And if you're uncomfortable, the players that know you're uncomfortable, so they're uncomfortable as well. I mean, you've seen how many goaltenders have you watched and be like, man, that guy looks terrible in the net. Remember Marc-Andre Fleury in the playoffs a couple years ago where we were all nervous for him.
Yeah.
And in
this city, Jonathan Bernier, there was an element where he was like, I got bad goals coming in on me. I don't want the fans against me. And it's just... it's a weird way to go down, but there's an element of choking. You're not performing.
Well, they've lost 9 of 12, all against the division since the beginning of September. They've lost 4 series in a row. And, okay, you get swept by the Yankees. You should never get swept in a situation like that. But the Yankees have been beating almost everybody. They're the hottest team in baseball right now. So I'll grant you that, okay?
Right.
I shouldn't, but I'll give you that.
Okay.
You lose 2 or 3 against Boston. Boston is also a juggernaut right now. They're playing very well. Their bats are explosive. Okay, I'll give you that. You can't drop 4 out of 6 against Tampa in this kind of a context.
No.
When you're into September, when Tampa's season has been done since the middle of June, they're not playing for anything. And today's a perfect example of the choke element showing up, the lack of confidence, whatever you want to call it, however you want to label it. They muster up 2 hits today in a borderline must-win game.
Yeah.
2 hits, and they gave up 13. And Estrada was rolling through the first 2 or 3 innings. Rolling, and then he stumbles, and you could just tell it was done. They weren't coming back.
It's over.
They went down, 3-0, I believe, in the 4th inning? That was it. You could feel it. It was over.
Well, that's your feeling at home. What I'm saying is the guys on the bench are sitting there going, man, how do we get out of this nonsense? And your best player doesn't look like he's going to be available anytime soon.
Well, those are the scariest 3 letters in pro sports.
MRI.
MRI. That brings it to a different level. You're no longer just a little banged up, and we'll see you tomorrow when the MRI shows up.
Or when the MRI, they're trying to figure out what's going on then. It's not just inflammation.
No, you got 2 choices now. You're done for the year, or you got to suck it up and have surgery when the season's done, or whatever. That's your 2 options.
Right.
And these are usually the injuries where the team actually knows, like, how bad it is.
They've got a suspicion. They just need to confirm it.
Right, exactly. And I would think behind the scenes, maybe they know this guy could be done for the year. And it couldn't come at a worse time. Now, they were losing even with him playing, and he was playing very poorly. But what he represents to this team, he's the heartbeat of this team.
Yeah.
He's the bloodline of the team. His energy, his style of play, it permeates the whole clubhouse. It permeates everyone out there on the field. And he's their most valuable player.
He is.
And it's just one more excuse, if you want to call it that, that the players can look at and say, well, we're falling apart anyway here. And now Donaldson's done. How can we possibly overcome this?
I was trying to think of, you know, an analogy. Is it like Carey Price getting injured? Is it like?
I don't think there is an analogy that you can use with other sports.
Tie something to it as
it's not the same because
a quarterback it's more individual, right?
It's much more individual, and he's only hitting 4 or 5 times a night. There's still a bunch of other guys who are going to step up, and you can't win in baseball because one guy had a great night.
No, it's not the NBA.
But he is an infectious guy, though, because he is in your face. To me, he seems like a guy. If he's in the dugout, he's going to be yapping at guys, getting in their grill a little bit. You know, his intensity is infectious. Not having him there, even, I think that ripples through.
100%
dynamic.
100%. You take that guy out of the lineup, and even if he's around, if you know he's not playing,
right,
he can't have the same impact. Great, you're around. You're talking to the boys during batting practice. What does that matter?
But deep inside their head, they know that when we go out to war tonight, that guy's not going to be with us.
You're back home.
But you would think with that lineup, the depth of the lineup, they could provide something more than that.
Who's the one guy that could keep them going? Is it Jose?
I think you got to.
It's Tulo. It's Encarnacion. It's Bautista.
It's a combination of guys. And the rotation. I mean, Estrada, again, has really struggled recently. Stroman, I don't think the end game in terms of the numbers actually did justice to how he pitched last night, because he got hit a lot. He got lucky. Their defense showed up big time early in that game last night. That game could have really gotten out of hand a lot earlier. Outside of Jay Happ, you can't have much faith in anybody right now, because Sanchez, again, is going to be skipped. He's not even going to be pitching this weekend when he's supposed to be. So you take him out of the mix. You have to rely on R.A. Dickey, Francisco Liriano. I mean, you can't rely on their pitching to show up right now. You can't rely on their hitting to show up right now. And it doesn't sound like you can rely on Josh Donaldson to show up right now, because he's speaking with the media And I guess he's saying that he's been battling lower body injuries all season, but the hip just recently got to a point where he could not play well enough with it. Not again, we'll get to the audio. We'll let him say it.
Yeah,
we'll hear it,
out there,
and we'll digest it ourselves. But based on that clip that I'm reading via email, it sounds like he was more than willing to come out because he said he couldn't play through it.
He's trying to fight through it. But then at some point, if it's, I don't know the mechanics of it, but if it's affecting his swing, it's affecting everything he does. I mean, obviously, you can't play defense efficiently if you can't be mobile. So you're right. There's a lot of things coming down. So our question the other day is, did they take him out or did he willingly go out? It sounds like it's both sides because he just couldn't do it.
All right, so when it rains, it pours. North America is playing right now. Who are they playing? Team Czech, I think?
Yeah.
I don't know why they're playing at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Don't tell me that Austin Matthews is hurt.
Well, Kristen Shilton, our Leafs reporter, is watching the game, and she just sent out a tweet saying, it looks like Austin Matthews blocked a shot off his foot, appeared to be wincing. He's talking to the trainer on the bench. Wouldn't that just be perfect for everything that's going on in the city right now?
But just type in Twitter that Kyle Lowry just wiped out in his mountain bike and he's twisted his ankle.
He's done for the year.
There you go.
Just top it off. Just go ahead.
Well, it's a very familiar mentality that I think the Toronto sports fan is starting to embrace again. Because as I'm watching the Jays game last night, now it's a Tuesday night, Tampa's in town, but there were a lot of empty seats. A lot of empty seats. Today there were a lot of empty seats.
Yeah.
Now again, it's more difficult to sell a Wednesday afternoon game in September when
school just started a week ago.
Kids are back in school. A lot of the parents and people are back into their work schedule.
Why the hell would they have a game?
It's a getaway game. They're going out west. They're playing out west tomorrow. You have to allot for the flight. And it's baseball. That's what they do all the time.
It is ridiculous. That's what I'm going to say.
They do it all the time. I
know. I get it. I'm sure it's been done 100 years in a row, but it's still ridiculous.
But it just feels as if the mid-2000s sports karma is just kind of hovering over the city again right now. There's panic. There's depression.
All right, let's just, you know what I want to do? Because I'm always the guy who tries to, try and keep things even keel. Let's just relax a little bit. The guy, Matthews could have a little bruise. He's going to get bruised.
He could, but it's Toronto, so he probably just broke his foot.
And you know what? Guess what will happen? It'll heal, and he's still going to be a great player. Let's not, the Blue Jays, they suck right now. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, they're playing horrible.
And Jamie,
there's still a chance. What do they have to go down the stretch here?
I think with 17 games left, they probably have to go 10-7 get in.
They don't have to go 10-1. They've got to go 10. Like, that's just, was that 600 ball?
That's the way they're playing right now.
I know.
They're playing 200 ball.
You're right. All I'm trying to do is bring some optimism and say, hey, you know what? You can get on a little stretch here. As easy as the Yankees got on a roll and some of these other teams, the one thing that you told me about the Jays all year is they've been pretty darn consistent. Now, they've been consistently poor lately, but they didn't have the peaks and valleys like they did last year.
That's true, and you hope that everything evens out here. If everything evens out, then they go 9-3 over the next 12,
right,
and all is gravy again.
And we're not
again
worried about it. And Austin Matthews scores two goals, and all of a sudden we're having a hell of a Wednesday.
We could be. We could. Well, I don't know if we can turn this into a positive or even mediocre Wednesday.
That's true.
I don't see that
happening. Lost today, but maybe if Matthews plays very well and you get excited about that brand of hockey coming around, then we can salvage Weeping Wednesday.
We'll see. We'll see about that. But I do think Toronto sports fans, they're so used to the 18-wheeler going off the cliff, and you're watching it happen with the Blue Jays here where it's falling apart in front of your eyes. There's nothing you can do about it either. It's a very helpless feeling as a fan because you're watching.
And as a player, it's a negative environment. They're not winning. Nobody's really playing well. Hitters, pitchers, your MVP is injured, and you're just going into work every day saying, we just need something positive to happen here. We need a guy to go out there and steal the show and have a performance to kind of get this back on track, and it's just simply not happening. And I've been there
before.
Where it's like, we all have. I mean, you're going into work saying, what's going to happen next? Either someone's going to get hurt. We're going to stink the joint out. The pitcher's going to suck.
Well,
the goalie's going to suck.
It's that feeling.
Our power play is going to suck. And it's just, you got to go through the process and wait for that one night where somebody steps up. And it's an awfully difficult process to go through. But, and they're doing it right now.
But maybe it's not, for you, in your case, it wasn't you or Brendan Moore or, you know, Francis that broke you out. Maybe it was Verbata or, you know, somebody, Sammy Kapanen out of nowhere. Like, that's what the Jays need is somebody.
Well, you're right. It's a lesser light that actually carries the load one night. And then the big guns are like, okay, you got us through that one. Now everyone's the pressure's off and we'll pick it up the next night.
And it seemed like that the other night with the home run.
You were hoping for a carryover.
Right.
And then last night they blow that game and today they get blown out.
Yeah. They're a fragile group.
They're a very fragile group.
And they're having a difficult time to grapple onto any type of momentum. It's like it's a one and done, a J-Hap, great performance, and then it's just game over. Or Liriano, great performance, game over. They can't build on anything.
Well, and Ross Atkins was talking before the game about the status of Donaldson, and he said he's as miserable of a person as you can find right now.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he should even be the most miserable person on the team or in the clubhouse. Like, I know athletes, they are trained to tell everyone on the outside that they're only thinking about the here and now and that they're constantly caught up in the moment. If you're John Gibbons, you're sitting here thinking, I'm toast if this continues to fall off a cliff.
We had it on Jerry's last week.
He's toast. More than likely, he's going to get his pink slip and he'll be back in San Antonio, and that's likely it for him in terms of Major League Baseball. If you're Jose Bautista, you're watching this fall apart, you're not producing, you're having the worst year of your Blue Jays career. If they end up losing here and fall off and don't end up making the playoffs,
he ain't coming back.
He's not coming back.
And
because
he left some money on the table, did he? Technically.
Well, depending on what the actual negotiations were, I don't know. But the point is, if they fall out of it, it gives Atkins and Shapiro even more ammo to pass on them. Because they'll say you're injured anyway. You're not going to take a discount. You want all this money. And and look where you were in September.
Here's a question. Atkins and Shapiro, because it's the honeymoon phase for them, they won't take any heat out of any of this?
Oh, there never has been a honeymoon for them because of who they replaced and where they came from.
Right.
You replace Anthopoulos and Beeston, two Canadians, two guys who led this team to the playoffs for the first time in 22 years.
Right.
And you're from Cleveland.
Right.
There was no honeymoon.
Well, that
wasn't a honeymoon.
So would they be under the gun as well?
I think they likely will.
Job security-wise?
I mean, Shapiro's coming out today and talking about how many tickets they've sold and how much money they've made and distracting the fans by talking about the upgrades at the Rogers Center. Who cares about the upgrades at the Rogers Center? Win games, and then when you get to the offseason, pump all that money that we have given you as fans into the roster.
Right.
Don't give me 50-inch HD screens in the concourse. I don't care about that.
But that's my point. Will you start to look at some of the moves or non-moves that could have improved this team to help it through the lean times, like right now?
The autopsy always happens. You know that. It's coming.
They're not going to be under the gun in year one.
Well, I'm not suggesting they'll be fired or anything along those lines, or the primary focus will be on those two.
Right.
But at some point, the dust is going to settle. And their job is going to be, okay, we missed. If they miss the playoffs, if this continues, and again, we don't know what's going to happen.
Giant if.
But if that happens, all right, how do you make amends for that and make sure it doesn't happen next year?
Right.
You made all this money. 3.3 million people showing up. The first time that's happened since 1993. Go and reinvest in the roster. Don't give me this, Bautista and Edwin, they're probably going to test the market. And
right.
You know, don't give me that. Stop playing, you know, small market mentality.
It just seems that if they don't make it, it's such a massive missed opportunity here with a lot of guys, like the amount of firepower they have, guys that are still, you know, high-functioning athletes, because you never know when the legs are going to fall off Bautista. Guys like that, correct?
You could argue they're already falling off.
Well, yes.
Bautista, for sure.
They're like any other organization. The St. Louis Blues have been designed to win for the last six, seven years.
Yeah.
And you know what? They haven't really come close.
They get to playoffs.
So it's disappointing when you have a team and they feel in that locker room they're ready to win and you're not getting the job done. It's a wasted opportunity for everybody involved.
Oh, that's
it's
exactly
hard, it's so
what
hard
this
to
will
win.
Be.
Yeah.
Yeah, this, it's exactly what it'll be. If you end up falling short,
it's a wasted opportunity for every guy, every coach, every member of the staff. It's so difficult to win.
Well, and it's not like you're
just pissed it away. That's what you did.
And that's what is happening right now.
They're pissing it away.
They have 17 games to salvage it. But no one is looking back on the past 11 or 12 games and saying, wow, they're just getting greased here or there, or right, bad umpiring, or, oh, man, 5, 6, 7 significant injuries at the same time.
But
you can't claim anything other than this is self-inflicting because for whatever reason, they can't pitch, and now they can't hit.
You're right. At the game we were at, that umpire, the guy with the stash has been a problem, though.
Jim Joyce, he's a pain in everyone's ass.
He's been a problem.
Everyone can't stand him.
Yeah, sure enough, the foul ball that was debatable or whatever, it was Jimmy Joyce. I looked and I saw the mustache. I'm like, you again?
That's the first thing he said to
10
me.
10 days earlier, he was in Cleveland. He botched a call that was so obvious. Just, I don't know.
That's his thing.
Detroit one night, perfect game going. He just called the guy out at first base. Do you remember that?
The ump show. That's the most memorable
ump show.
That was
the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my baseball watching life.
And it was him being a hero. Watch how much of a hero I am. I'm going to steal this because I don't care that the perfect
any
game
other
is
umpire
over
in life just punches the guy out no matter where he's at.
The tie goes to the perfect game. If the guy within a foot, I would have called him out for history purposes.
Right.
There wasn't even challenges back then, I don't think. He could have just punched him out and said, perfect game, there you go.
And he would have got the call right because he got him out.
I know.
It still drives me nuts. And that, I'm not a Tigers fan. I don't even care.
No, but you just feel, you know, you feel for the guy. That's what it is.
Yeah, I found a clip where the Jays are at right now. Do you want to hear it?
Okay.
There is no tomorrow!
Rocky.
Is that
Apollo
Nick?
Creed. I mean, you could have gave me a little more than that, Mark. You gave
I was pretty short.
I was waiting for more.
All right, well, I've got a clip, and it's a very short one about what I was talking about earlier.
It's like you're supposed to play it when Rocky says, oh, we'll do it tomorrow, and then Apollo goes, there is no tomorrow. But you gave me,
like
one line.
Mickey always stole the show in that when he yells at him and gets in his face.
Mullins out of the three stars.
Oh, my God, he's out.
You're
his dad's in, he's out.
I was talking about the Toronto sports fan earlier and how now they're looking at what's going on here, and they're saying, yeah, this is what I remember. This is what it's like to be a Toronto sports fan. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie Hook.
Yes.
Remember when Peter Pan first goes back, and he's an old man, and they're like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
And that was Toronto sports fans the past year. Jays going to the ALCS. Raptors going to Game 6 of the Eastern Final. Maple Leafs winning a lottery and getting Austin Matthews. We were the old Peter Pan that didn't make sense. It was foreign territory. But now, with the Jays falling apart, this is what every single Toronto sports fan is starting to say to themselves.
Oh, there you are, Peter.
That's a Toronto sports fan.
You're back.
We found him.
You're back.
Berg, you're back.
You're back. We know what it's like again to be complete losers.
Yeah, but guess who's
Ryan
back?
Ryan McCabe, your teeth are back. They're yellow. They're all over the place.
What if Caber showed up with those piano keys again? They were yellow.
We need
them.
Still be weeping.
The city needs those teeth back.
But guess who else is back? Austin Matthews came back.
He's back on the ice?
Yeah, little boo-boo. He's fine. Don't you worry. The fan base can relax.
I'm really rattled that this game is being played right now. Like, I know they're in Pittsburgh, so they're playing early, and then Canada-Russia is going on later tonight. But why not play them? Different buildings, different cities, same time, put them both in prime time.
Because you know what they did? If they did do that, you'd be pissed saying, why the hell are these two games playing at the same time? I want to watch Canada and I want to watch Austin Matthews play.
I want to watch Matthews in North America over the Canada-Russia game.
Really? That's a lie, dude.
Absolutely.
I want the ability to watch both if I'm a fan. So you've got a guy right now who has the afternoon off. He has watched the Jays, and now he's watching Team North America, and he's probably a half a bottle into his vodka, and he's going to watch Canada-Russia tonight.
What does he do for a living, that guy that you just created?
I'll tell you what, man. I got to tell you.
He's a consultant.
Okay. Everything's over the phone. He works from home.
Exactly.
I went through 8 or 9 years where I did not have a job and I didn't do anything, and my neighbors probably looked at me and said, what does that guy do?
Because he saw you in sweatpants all the time, probably.
Well, no, but when you get into condo living, I see numerous people daily, and I literally want to go up to them and say, what do you do? I mean, they're chilling on the couch in the lobby. They're in the sauna.
Tinkering.
They're working out. They're sitting on the bench outside looking at Lake Ontario. They don't do – I don't even know what they do. And there's hundreds of them.
But I think based on our schedule, like when we go to work, we probably get labeled with the same thing.
Exactly. I see the same people. I go for a run every morning. I see the same people. I wave to them. They're either
at work.
So there
could be people that are doing night shifts.
That's what I'm thinking.
Exactly. Like they have – not everyone works just 9 to 5.
Well, exactly. And we're perfect examples of that. Like I've been out the past couple of days. We've been going out for walks and stuff like that, getting out of the house. And I'm out at noon, 12:30, 1 o'clock. I'm sure people are watching me and they're thinking, what do you do?
Independently wealthy. Maybe. Trust fund baby.
Actually, I wanted to ask you guys.
Here's a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think it's inappropriate early into a conversation to say, what do you do? I think it's ignorant.
Like you've never met someone before?
Well, you just small talk, like, hey, how's it going? I'm Jeff. And then like two questions in, it's like, what do you do for a living?
No, I always say, where are you from? See,
where
I like
from
talking
is
about
nothing. It's a
yeah, but
non-fact.
Why the hell would you want to know what they do?
I just find it creepy when people, two questions in, they're like, what do you do for a living?
Yeah, but usually you're curious about what someone does for a living.
Yeah, but it's none of your business.
I hear you. I'm not saying it's not an
do
ignorant.
Do you throw it out there?
No, I don't. I don't. Because I don't want it to get awkward and someone say something like, well, I used to do this, but I just lost my gig or whatever.
In between jobs, yeah. What you want to say is, where are you from? Are you from Toronto? Are you from here?
No, you get out of that, though. You don't get any juicy info.
No, but if somebody says, well, it's none of your business where I'm from, then you wonder if they're shady. You know, I've moved around a lot.
I like a solid go to hell and walk away. That can end something quickly.
Do you really care where someone's from? Like, if you're at a resort somewhere.
I don't think I've ever, two questions in, said, hey, where are you from?
I do all the time. You try and you get comfortable with people. You disarm them and let them talk about their hometown.
Right.
And they say, I'm from Toronto. I said, yeah, yes, I grew up out west. I'm really starting to enjoy the city.
Where are you
then
from?
You head down
in the city.
In the city.
Where's your closest Costco? Important stuff like that.
That's a good one, too.
Chris Chelios is going to join us, who was in the National Hockey League for about 78 years, and now he's doing analysis work for ESPN. So we'll ask him what that transition has been like. Get his thoughts on Auston Matthews, on Team USA, on John Tortorella. So you get the impression like Tortorella wants brawls every single night. That's
Gritty.
Their best opportunity to win. And JVR will join us around 5:15. Jerry's around 5:30. It's Weeping Wednesday. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.
It's everything you want to hear about the Leafs and more. Leafs Lunch with Andy Petrillo, tomorrow at noon. Now, back to Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
All right, James Van Riemsdyk will join us in about 45 minutes. Jerry's percentages in just over an hour. Hoping to catch up with Chris Chelios here in a moment.
I'm getting some notes about me describing people at home. Jeffrey sends me a note, enjoying 2 weeks off in between jobs. I'm doing exactly what you described. I wonder if he's including the vodka.
Maybe.
I got an email from a colleague at TSN. Different schedules like us. You just described me minus the alcohol.
Well, Craig tweeting and saying, we shift workers rule the afternoons between work days. Hashtag love midweek days off.
There you go. If you're a shift worker.
What does that
worker,
mean, though? Love midweek days off.
That's where you can literally get up and you don't have to work for, you know, say you're four on, four off, whatever. You can have a liquid lunch.
Well, if you're a firefighter.
You can sit on a patio.
There are firefighters that will work out their shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And live in like South Carolina and come up here and
right because they do 8 days they'll do 8 days off and then work 10 straight or whatever
exactly
it is.
And they're like, all right, I'm off for a week, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends who are
we
firefighters.
Need to incorporate that into our routine.
What are you talking about, pre-tapes? How many pre-tapes could we put together to get a block of shows off?
What about just best of? Could we even come up with one?
Yeah, we have to supply a best of first.
That's true.
I'm sending a warning right now. Steph, pay attention. Christmas Eve, best of. Holidays, when we walk in here and you always say to us, book it off, we're not coming in, so it's best of.
But we actually do book it off. You're the only guy who doesn't put in for the days off, and then you end up here, and then you're pissed off when you're here.
Well, we did Brass Rail Christmas last year. It was pretty good.
That was really good.
I mean,
we'll figure it out by. Why not? We'll remind you before Christmas. We'll figure it out before Christmas. But we're about a week and a half into the shows. We probably shouldn't be tired or anything.
Yeah, I think we need to stop concerning ourselves with days off, 3, 4, 5 months down the road.
The grind starts quickly, man.
But this is a great time of year to be on here talking about sports, man. You got the Jays, who have lost 9 of 12. Donaldson had his MRI. No results yet. But he sounds somewhat defeated.
Do we have that audio? We got to get that audio.
We'll play the audio later. Steve Phillips will join us. We'll ask him about what this means for the team going out west, because they've got 17 games left. You have to think they have to win at least 9 or 10. But the way they're going right now, it feels it's almost impossible to picture that. Doesn't mean it won't happen or can happen.
Right.
But this is the beauty of being a fan, is you ride that roller coaster, and the baseball season's a long season, man.
I'm being positive, Jamie, for you guys to try and uplift you and say it's not a Mary Swanson situation, one in a million. They got to go 10-7. We were talking to Fergie before about it. He thinks, 10-7 range. How many? 89, 90 wins?
Yep, they get to 89, 90. That should get them the second wild card.
That's all we need. That's what the focus is right now.
Well, the American League East is like, Boston may as well be 15 games up. It feels like it. They're only 2.5 up, but it feels like they're 15 games up,
right?
Because of the way Boston's playing, but also because of the way the Blue Jays are playing. They're still within striking distance of the American League East. Mm-hmm. Still have 3 more games left against Boston.
Yep.
And again, if you're going to be an optimist, a lot of the teams that they're fighting with at this point to get into the playoffs, they still have on their schedule. They've got 3 against Seattle. Mm-hmm. Seattle's right there. They've got 4 against the Yankees. The Yankees are right there. They've got 3 against Baltimore.
Yep.
The Orioles are right there. They got 3 against Boston. So all these teams that are hovering, they have a chance to control their own destiny.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say.
But so do the other teams. That's the problem. The other teams aren't just going to say, okay, here you go. You know, that city's been in shambles in terms of baseball for 20 years, and you had a taste last year, so we want to hook you up again this year.
What's the biggest shock? That the Yankees are still kicking around, or that the Blue Jays have taken a dump here?
The dump by the Blue Jays is...
I don't know, man. The Yankees traded Chapman, Miller, Beltran. Who else did they trade? They traded
They gassed A-Rod.
A-Rod, he's down in Miami doing God knows what, and they can't lose. I'm shocked the Yankees are where they are. I am. But...
Well, you never know.
They're in it. You got to give them credit. They battled hard, and they keep beating good teams, and they swept the Jays a week ago.
Some of their young guys have come up and played well, correct?
Big time. Someone sent me a tweet earlier wondering. There were 7 more home games left at the Dome. 4 against the Yankees, 3 against Baltimore. For the first time in a long time, if the wheels continue to fall off, will we hear a go Leafs go chant at the Rogers Center?
Oh, you know it.
No.
If it goes real south, you're going to hear that for sure, 100%. Maybe
really?
Jerry might touch on that.
That could be a Jerry's percentage.
That could be a Jerry's percentage. I don't know, man.
I think so, man.
But
I
will
think
they
people,
be there? Will they be
I'm
there? Will it
Jerry
be sellouts?
As we speak.
Will there be sellouts there?
I'm not convinced there'll
Dude,
be sellouts.
No, not in this town, man. They're all in until they see a sign of like no hope, and then it's like, bah.
This road trip year. Will dictate a lot of that.
Yeah.
If they go out there and they go 2-5,
yeah,
it will not be 50,000 at the Rogers Center. It'll be 35.
Right.
Like it'll still be a really good crowd.
But
it won't be to the Raptors.
Seats will be available, and I don't have to overspend on StubHub for them.
Exactly. But the Go Leafs Go chant is so insulting to Blue Jay fans. So insulting because the Jays are still, they're in the hunt right now. They're currently in a playoff spot
exactly.
Right now. They went to the playoffs last year. The Leafs have not sniffed the playoff spot in a long time.
Well, since the lockout.
Since
and then
the lockout.
Before then, it was a lean. It was
before
lean
the lockout,
well.
A Go Leafs Go chant with the Yankees in town.
It's a little greasy.
There'd be fights.
You think so?
I think so.
There wouldn't be fights.
I don't think Jays fans and Leafs fans fight? Like,
no.
I think a lot of them are the
are
same.
Are we currently getting gassed by someone right now?
Well, Chelios isn't picking up. your boy Chris Chelios.
I love Chris Chelios.
Well, give him
not
a ring.
Not right now.
He's a gritty, gritty competitor.
Apparently he's got better things to do than to call into this show. Because he's doing work with ESPN.
That's the thing. I'm going to ask him, if we do get a hold of him, what's it like being an analyst? Because you played the game 1,000 years. Now you got to talk about it. Be interesting to see what he says. It's a lot tougher than people think.
A lot tougher.
People in your ear talking to you while you're on camera, finding the camera, trying to fit all your analysis in 38 seconds before they go somewhere else. Like, it's a little bit of a grind.
What do you guys think of Tyler Seguin out of the World Cup and Ryan O'Reilly getting the nod?
Positional, right? Like, Seguin center, O'Reilly center. Like, everyone's talking. I was on Edmonton Radio this morning. They were chipped that Taylor Hall didn't get the call. But with Seguin, I thought he was pushed to the wing.
When Team Canada decides whether it's PK Subban or Taylor Hall, or
they're not on it, yeah.
When they got that decision made, they will go through 5 or 6 guys before they get to that guy.
I actually said that too. I said
when they decide we don't want you a part of our, they're going to go through everybody, and that's just the way it is.
I said that. I said if there's another injury on D, PK Subban probably won't get the call.
Not even close.
How many injuries before PK gets a call?
Two more.
I would have to go through a depth chart to see who's.
Well, Letang is still out there.
That's what I was going to say. Letang,
he's getting a call.
Ahead. That's the only guy that I thought.
It's actually shocking that he's not on that team to begin with.
But they're
like Jake Muzzin and Jay Bouwmeester are on that team.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris Letang was pretty good in the Stanley Cup
playoffs.
Keep
in mind, gentlemen, this is Mike Babcock that is demanding left and right D. Like, it's not just, you know, Mark Bergevin and the management team, Doug Armstrong. It's the coach going, I want a left D and get me a right D. And don't make no mistake, Mike Babcock, if he said, I want PK Subban on my team, he's on the team. So when people criticize some of the greatest hockey minds in hockey for not having PK Subban on the team, you have to throw Mike Babcock's name in there as well because he didn't want him.
And I think that would likely apply to Taylor Hall as well.
Exactly.
Like Ryan O'Reilly is a more cerebral, all-around smart player.
Really good player.
Very good player.
The one thing the Tap Man did teach me was about duplicates. When you've got a Drew Doughty and a Shea Weber on your group already,
yeah.
Do you need a Chris Letang?
No, I think you need
a right-handed shot that can carry the mail and play. Like, but when you've got it already, do you need it again?
You know who is fiercely still underrated is Pietrangelo. I think he is an outstanding defenseman. Outstanding.
I wonder which type of player you're talking about where, yeah, you can get greedy with that type of a player. Great talent? Yeah, I think I can have a lot of those. Yeah. What, are you going to say no to an extra Sidney Crosby?
No,
I already got
right.
One of those guys.
You're right. But obviously they've identified that Mike Babcock says, I don't think PK can play my system.
I'm not sure he'd be the second call. I think they've just determined he's not going to be here. We're not bringing that circus aboard.
Yeah.
We're not going to have to explain.
Why did I have to read today that PK Subban skating with his teammates?
Who wrote that? Was that online or something?
It was online.
Was it on our website?
It was on our website. Why am I reading that?
I don't know.
Why do I care that he's skating with his teammates? That's what he's supposed to do.
Get ready for it. No. There's going to be a lot of PK stories.
Yeah.
A lot of them. All right, we'll get to the Grit Grinder, JVR, we think at 5:15. There's a lot of American hockey players that are gassing us right now. We know Jerry will be there at 5:30.
Yes, he will.
We can always rely on Jerry. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.
Tomorrow, catch Naylor and Landsberg in the morning from 5:30 to 9 a.m. But now, more of Overdrive with Hayes Noodles and the O-Dog on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
And now it's time for the 40-30 Wrangler Low Center of Gravity Grit Player of the Game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a little grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
The 40-30 Low Center of Gravity Grit Grinder is brought to you by Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans.
I'll go Max Pacioretty. He was kind of supposed to have a game. He just made himself. He made a presence.
And Torts called him out a little bit.
Yeah, He had to do something, and he did have a nice pass. Well, he had a sympathy pick.
Can you believe getting called out second exhibition game
by not even your own regular coach,
a guy who doesn't know you?
Yeah,
you're there for free.
By the way,
he didn't call him out. He just said, "I'd like to see more."
What's the difference? But he didn't say that about anybody else. And I'm sure there were a couple guys where he probably wanted to see more out of them. Yeah. It's like really torts.
That's the first thing I thought.
So it's a bad thing to say, "I'd like to see more"?
No, I think it's typical Tortorella. He's going to pick one guy and he's going to bury him. And that's what happened to him with Pacioretty.
That's enough.
What it felt like to me.
But to his point, he responded. I thought he looked pretty good yesterday. I am going to go with Tyler Seguin. Apparently, this guy was injured and tried to fight through it and then finally had to get shut down.
I bet you the Dallas Stars weren't exactly thrilled about that.
Exactly.
That he tried to fight through it all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's coming off a major injury, too.
No kidding. Right. When I'm paying your bills, as soon as you see any sign of discomfort, you get your rear end back to Dallas.
Well, that's the Frederik Andersen. You know, sorry, you're coming to Toronto.
Yeah.
Which you protect the player. That's what you have to do. But anyways, he grinded it through, came up a little short, Ryan O'Reilly in.
I'll give it to the Blue Jay fans that made it down there today and stuck it out for nine innings of pain, because that's what it was. There was nine innings of pain.
There was no mojo whatsoever.
A midweek game against Tampa where it's supposed to be desperation. You're hoping your team can find a way to win that game and win that series. Jays go out there and muster two hits, give up 13, get smoked by the worst team in the division. If you stuck it out to the ninth and you were trying to get the rally caps going, the definition of a grit grinder.
This is a grit grinder.
The 4030 Low Center of Gravity Grit Grinder was brought to you by Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans, built with U-shaped construction and four-way flex technology. They're the most comfortable jeans you'll ever wear.
Guaranteed.
JVR and Jerry in the next hour, and we'll hear from Donaldson. This is Overdrive TSN 1050.